Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Dominic. Today, pitchers and catchers report to spring training.
Oh!
Hope springs eternal. It's hump day. Welcome to the big show, fella.
Happy hump day to you, Crudy Evan, on the board. The boys of summer, they're starting to get ready to come back. I look forward to it.
So do I. We got Brewers across the network, man.
Well, now that we're kicking in $300 million to help, you know, upgrade. You know, we're not going
to start. Cheaper to keep them, Dom. Cheaper to keep
them. Oh, my God. I mean, I guess I get it, but really, really. I mean, so real quick, a little background. Let me rant here while we're talking about this. So Governor Evers is slid into the budget to the apparently dismay of the Republicans.
Yeah, big budget address tonight, 7 o'clock.
Oh, it is. Okay, excellent. $290 million out of the, $7 billion surplus to go towards the Brewers Stadium for maintenance and whatnot, based, you know, so they can fulfill their lease terms.
American Family Field.
It's Miller Park, man. Come on. So it's County Stadium. Who are we kidding? But okay, why are we doing that? I mean, it was financed with like an additional sales tax, and they decided to stop that. There's like $90 million sitting in the bank for them, not enough to cover the, you know, $400 or $500 million they're going to need in maintenance and upgrades. So I'm just wondering, like, well, what was the plan? Whose plan was it to come up with, I don't know, $200 million short when you got to come and fulfill the terms of your lease? What?
God forbid the franchise kick in.
Well, I mean, they can't tap into any of that increasing value over time.
Well, they are looking, my understanding is, Tony Evers wants to extend the lease. Effectively, we commit to the ongoing cost of field maintenance or whatever the hell we're... It's a lot of grass seed, man. $200 million.
Corn.
But we, the taxpayers, we kick in for that. And the Brewers lease the stadium from us for another 20 years. We, the people.
But why? If you're 200, if you got to go to the state for $300 million, and granted, it's not all for initial. That does include maintenance for this extended portion of the lease that they're not locked in for now. So I'll grant you that. But either way, you're short. I mean, why would you stop the sales tax? I mean, so you can lean on the state? Hey, guys, I got a great idea. We'll fund it to, you know, 90%, and then the rest we'll just wait and see what happens. Maybe we can lean on some socialism. And, you know, and so Robin Voss and these Republicans, and number one, they're mad because it was dropped in without any sort of consultation like they did with the forum for the Bucks. But they're going to go along with it at some point. They're going to cut a deal because everybody loves the Brewers. They don't want the Brewers to leave. And they're going to engage in and support the very socialism that they claim to despise.
Did you just bring up the public subsidization of the Pfizer forum, Dom?
I did.
Because that one sticks in my freaking craw. And we're going to get to, did we mention, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin Chair, Ben Wickler, joining us later. This is not even on our topic of discussion today. But the Pfizer Forum, man, I'm still galled. Because here's the deal. If you'll recall, the Menominee Indian tribe wanted to roll out a casino. And they even had corporate partners who had done this many times before. The Hard Rock Cafe Group.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, as a sweetener of the deal, they said, we will contribute $250 million towards the public's contribution to the building of the Pfizer Forum. And former Governor Scotty Walker said, no, because I'm running for president. And one of my big donors, Sheldon Adelson, has given a lot of money to my super PAC, perhaps, so I can oppose the expansion of parimutuel betting in the state of Wisconsin.
Didn't he also get a letter from some Christians in Iowa?
Yeah, like some Christian conservatives in Iowa. So he set policy for Wisconsin predicated on his desire to be a appealing presidential candidate in the state of Iowa. And he screwed the Menominee Indian tribe. He screwed the state of Wisconsin. He screwed the taxpayers. And we, the taxpayers, ended up being on the hook for that additional $250 million. We built this gorgeous stadium, the Fiserv Forum. And now I understand Mark Lazary's cashing out. What a sweet deal for the owner of the Bucks franchise, who has seen his investment grow enormously. And I understand his kid's sort of a political sort.
Yes, yes.
Now, do you think Alex Lazary will still have the job as the senior vice president of the Milwaukee Bucks franchise if his old man doesn't own the Milwaukee Bucks franchise?
That's a great question.
Is he still a valued senior executive?
I don't know.
That triggers, and here's the other part of the non-scripted conversation. Maybe that's triggering Alex to go out and seek, you know, gainful employment.
Yes, do something else.
Running a super PAC.
Ah, there we go. Doesn't everybody run a super PAC?
Well, apparently all the former Democratic candidates for the U.S. Senate have thrown their hats in the ring. I mean, we've got, what, three and counting. We know Godlewski's running her super PAC. We got the recent news that Mandela Barnes, well, he's got a super PAC. And hell, Alex Lazary also, apparently, has a super PAC. My only question is, what's taking you, Tom Nelson?
He's actually got a job, man. He's got to go work
out of Gaming County executive, County, Tom
right,
Nelson.
Exactly.
Well, let's not forgive Tom. I mean, and I like Tom. But Tom declared himself a U.S. Senate candidate prior to the election of Joe Biden. He was in the race prior to 2020, Dom, prior to the 2020 fall elections. So, I mean, Tom was out there fundraising from the get. And here's the point about super PACs. Why, and no offense to Mandela, but what was one of the major criticisms Ron Johnson had against Mandela Barnes during the primary, or pardon me, during the general, the U.S. Senate general? He's never worked outside of politics. Well, this would be a hell of a time to get a job. You know what I mean? Outside of politics. And that would never be a accurate criticism of Mandela Barnes again.
It's going to be a criticism no matter what you do, man. I mean, you know, you can't live your life based on
what
other
people accurate criticism.
May or may not criticize you for.
It was an accurate criticism. The man had never had gainful employment, near as I could tell, or as was stated by Ron Johnson. He never dispelled the claim. He never said, no, I worked at here and here and here, and you know, politics is my sidelight. Never made that claim. I hear LaTanya Johnson being accused of being a double dipper. She's got two full-time jobs. So
is she running a super PAC too?
No, she's a state representative and also a full-time teacher. So, you know, twice being paid on the government dole. That was in urban Milwaukee the other day.
But at least, I mean, the citizen legislator.
I got no problem with quote unquote double dippers if someone's teaching and I know it's a ridiculous statement. So I'm sorry I distracted with that. But she's got two jobs. What's Mandela's job? I mean, you can point to LaTanya and say, well, I'm also a teacher. I, like you, my constituents, I have a real job. I gotta pay the bills. I gotta pay the rent.
Everybody's gotta pay the bills. Everyone's gotta pay the rent.
Well, what's your job when you run a super PAC? And it's not just the Dems. I mean, Rebecca Clayfish, she's back to full-time super PACing as well.
I think I'm missing the boat on the super PACing, man.
Why are we not super PACing? Because as you pointed out to me, Dom, there are a finite number of political dollars.
Right.
But what all of these candidates, all these former candidates are trying to do now is continue their viability through the donations of others, right?
Well, and to keep perhaps a team employed or a skeleton crew employed for the next potential run, which could be in a couple of years.
Could be years.
Yeah.
So I would put a whole company together, a super PAC in this case, but that's still going to be organized as a company of some sort. Still going to have some tax filing status. Still going to hire treasurers and accountants and people to make payroll, right? And most of it, presumably, is going to be funded by the dollars of other people. Because if any of these, although, who knows, I thought Lazary was, relatively speaking, independently wealthy. He pretty much funded his own prior campaign.
Yeah.
Why do you need the super PAC, Jack?
Other people's money, man.
OPM. Well, now he didn't need other people's money to run a primary campaign. Maybe a little untoward.
I don't listen. If that's the way to get paid, if that's a way to keep your foot in the game, then so be it.
I know I'm restating myself, but why can't you get a real job?
I mean, define a real job. If you are going to an office and dialing for dollars for your super PAC to fulfill the mission of your super PAC, that's a job, man. I mean,
well,
I don't know what to tell you.
The mission of my super PAC is to keep me gainfully employed politics.
Fulfilling the mission of getting paid is to be employed.
You know,
whether
you
do it through a super PAC, whether you do it through an insurance company, whether you do it through a rate. I mean, everyone's got to get up and go, pound the phones, dig a ditch, do something to get paid. And if that's what you're into, that's what you're closest to. Well, I mean, of course.
Oh, no, I lost Tom. Well, here's what I would say. The successful politicians, they win their races. And then they get paid to serve the people. That's the goal, right? You go run for something, and then you win your race, and then you go serve, and you get paid a salary. Hell, if you got two jobs, you might be double dipping on that salary. But if you lose your race, be like the rest of us. Go out and get a freaking job. And I don't mean...
It's the thing you're closest to, right? You're not going to go retrain yourself to an entirely new industry when you got everyone's... You still got the list from the last campaign. You still got everyone's phone number in your phone. You just lean on what you know. That's the easy part.
Shouldn't the people that have a few political dollars to spend, shouldn't my $27 go towards supporting a Supreme Court candidate right now? I mean, really, shouldn't I be putting my money behind
$27
the cause?
Less 10 or 15% for overhead.
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. When are we starting our super pack? Maybe on the other side of this short break. Come back. You can join us. 844-96-PARTY.
I hate this job. I hate this damn.
1, 2, 3, 4 1, 2
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can always join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, are we going to continue to talk about the new super PACs springing up all over? Wherever there's a candidate in need of a job, there's a super PAC to support them.
If you ask for money and they give it, and you can do something, you know, positive and support your mission and, you know, keep a crew employed, I mean, how's that any better or worse than doing anything else non-laborious?
You don't make anything. You don't produce anything. I mean, really. I'm just saying. Here's a little.
If you perform a task and someone pays you to do that task, so what? Called a job,
okay,
man.
Okay, so let's talk about the appeal of a super PAC. I, John Q. Citizen, why should I give my hard-earned scratch to a super PAC as opposed to a candidate or a candidate's committee or a 501c3? Or 527B, Dom, why, in the case of Mandela Barnes, I pulled up the announcement on his super PAC. Why would I give money to the long run Mandela Barnes' super PAC? What benefit
because his mission is to elect change-making candidates across the country. So he's going to insert himself into that flow of money, peel a little bit off for operations and overhead, right? And presumably, you know, pay out some of that money that comes in. Presumably, right? You're going to support other change-making candidates. But, I mean, so that's the same thing as everybody else then, right? I mean, if you can funnel your donor, you can funnel donors, you can take money in. I mean, that's what he says. That's what my text says.
Is it tax deductible when I make a donation to a super PAC? And I don't know the answer. I shouldn't ask a question if I don't know the answer.
I do not believe so.
Based on these organizational things, so it's not charity. It's a donation to future financial viability of the candidate. Again, man, it's not the highest use of our political donations.
Then clarify for me, in your opinion, then how is it different than giving to, for instance, the Democratic Party specifically directly?
Well, at least the Democratic Party could funnel the resources to a specific candidate in a specific race.
Well, that's exactly what Mandela Barnes' super PAC says is coming
to. Probably in a less direct fashion. If I'm the long-run super PAC, first I'm going to take care of the long-run super PAC's overhead, right? I'm sure the party takes care of its own overhead. This Democratic Party, far better funded than it ever has been historically, in part because our soon-to-be guest, Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party chair of the great state of Wisconsin, that guy makes it rain up in here.
Yeah, man.
He's a prestigious fundraiser. So Ben has brought a whole new ability to raise fund, and of course the Wild West attitude of the campaign finance laws in the state of Wisconsin. Here's the crazy part, Tom. You didn't need a super PAC. You know what I mean? In the state of Wisconsin, in fact, you could create a different organization on state-level candidacies. You could coordinate. You could shield your donations. You could keep it completely anonymous. And you could make it tax deductible to the donor. Why not do that? Because that would be a true benefit to the actual giver. And you could have them allocate that money however you saw fit, let's say in a Wisconsin Supreme Court race. But unless the super PACs are suddenly going to start, I mean, a super PAC designated for federal candidacies.
To make it tax deductible, it would have to be, you know, you could not choose a side. It'd have to be the educational part of it.
So what? These are all just fundraising apparatus anyways. You might as well make it better off for the giver.
Well, you got to spend the money at some point, right?
I'm sorry, what's that?
You have to spend the money at some point.
Every day when the bills come in, you spend a little bit of money. Oh, there's a bill. Spend some money. Oh, a new check came in. Use that to pay that bill and spend that money. And when the payroll comes due to not just the former candidate, but the staff, well, they all stay hopefully gainfully employed in the political infrastructure, the permanent political infrastructure. But to what freaking end? Because somebody's super PAC ain't going to help somebody else. I mean, I know that's supposed to be the intent. But show me the last time a successful super PAC campaign lifted up somebody else's candidacy and got them across the finish line. I don't mean the one that's, you know, cashing the checks. I mean the one that's supposed to be lifting up the candidacy of another. And if that's what your intent is, why wouldn't you simply encourage me to donate directly to that person's campaign? Why wouldn't I give to Protasewicz or Everett Mitchell or Jody Habish-Sinikin, I believe her name, the 8th Senate District candidate? Why wouldn't I give directly to that candidate? Or if I believe in the team, why wouldn't I give it to the Democratic Party? Why do I need some other handler of the money who doesn't really, we got this mission. I mean, I guess I'm cynical, Dom. I don't think the political infrastructure should be the ongoing employment mechanism of unsuccessful candidates.
Really?
I really believe that. I believe that with the Iron Stash.
Do you carry that same philosophy across every industry? I mean, people fail all the time. You know, I mean, the Eagles lost the Super Bowl. They're still going to be employed to play another game next year. I mean, who are you and how is it that you determine what is worthwhile and what is not?
I'm Crudy, damn it. Yeah. I decide and then I tell you on a microphone each and every day. Yeah. I'm just expressing my opinions.
I get it. It is valid to you, and I appreciate what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I think you could take that same attitude and apply it to lots of different industries, lots of nonprofits, lots of different organizations that you could question and say, well, why are you doing that? What's the point? I mean, because they're getting paid, man, because people need to scratch out a check. That's why they're doing it.
Just never say that about the People for People People Corporation. Those people, they're the fine people.
They're the good people.
But that's a state organization, and it's tax deductible. You should look it up.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Don't call me on my blood. Pay me what you want it. Balling bigger than LeBron. Bitch, give me your money.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Taking an unexpected turn, Dom. Okay, last thought on the super PACs. Then we'll talk about something that matters.
Your last thought, I may have a rebuttal, but go ahead.
I will not invoke your name. Yeah. And we are going to turn our attention to something that matters, like the current Wisconsin Supreme Court race going on. And I like Tom Nelson a lot, but it bothered me when Tom Nelson got into the U.S. Senate race before we had determined the 2020 presidential race.
Why does that bother you? Why is it relevant?
Distracting from the mission at hand. Draining meager resources from the candidates that needed it in real time.
So that one election cycle was still ongoing, and you think that he was dipping before the election cycle was completed. I mean, it's not like Tom took a lot of money, man. You know what I mean?
Well, Tom obviously felt like he'd be under-resourced, and he had to get in early, and he had to capture some imagination.
Yes.
Well, was it successful? Did it work?
Well, most of them aren't successful, man. So... Does that mean you don't try it? You don't do it?
I would say no, you don't throw your hat in the race unless it's a different campaign.
You don't run a race unless you know you're going to win.
How about you wait till the last campaign's over and then you can start running for the next one?
Yeah, there's something to be said about that, but I highly doubt that Tom's decision to do so impacted the current race whatsoever.
Okay, that's your assertion.
Yes. Yes. I mean, how many dollars did he take in? Here's the analysis. How many dollars did Tom take in from the moment he spoke until the end of that current election cycle?
Well, you're going to
tell him, right, not a lot. Let's just say
numbers.
Not a lot, let's just say.
Okay, so it's not a lot to your opinion.
Yes.
So it's just fine if he jumps in before the last elective cycle's over.
You know, you can
drains the meager resources.
Yes,
of the donors at that time frame.
You could say it twice. I understand it. You don't have to say it.
You don't have a problem with that.
I don't think it's as big of a deal as you think it is.
Clearly
I think the mathematical formula of which you talk about, given who the candidate was, the amount of money he took in, what was going on at the time. No, I mean, I don't know the numbers, but my impression is it's negligible. Statistically negligible. That's my impression.
Okay. We've got a Wisconsin Supreme Court race going on. We've got a spring election where all our focus should be. Yeah, we're talking about brand new super PACs, right? Alex Lassery, the latest entree into the
perhaps those super PACs will be involved in the spring election, right?
They will not, because that is a federal thing. When you create a super PAC, my understanding is that is in support of federal candidates. Guess what? There ain't none on the ballot. So all you're doing right now is you're being freaking selfish. If nothing else, through the timing of your announcements. Let us get through the current spring election. And you can roll out your mechanism for ongoing gainful employment at the political teat after. That's my assertion.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you voted for Mandela Barnes versus...
I like Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, okay. So
We
both like Mandela Barnes. Now, whether or not Mandela Barnes leaves the quote-unquote political circus, leaves the dialing for dollars career behind, because let's not kid ourselves, what these politicians do for a lot of their time is dialing for dollars. So what Mandela's been really good at for the last several years, including his run for lieutenant governor, has been dialing for dollars, man. I mean, that's what politicians do. I'm not a fan of it, but that's just the practical reality of it. Man, they'll tell you, got to go to the pit, got to make the calls. When I first heard that, I was like, what, you freaking kidding me? What, you work for a telemarketing firm, man? Don't you have people doing that? You know what I'm saying? But that's what they do. They spend a lot of time doing. They hone those skills. They make the contacts over time. So if that is now your skill, why would you walk away from that? Number two.
Being a telemarketer is their only discernible skill now. They know how to dial for dollars, and that's how we want them gainfully employed until their next elective cycle.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's what they've been doing. You want to know what the skill has been? That's what they're doing, dialing for dollars. So if you're no longer in the office, you no longer have the administrative duties of legislation, for instance, well, what do you got? You got your dialing for dollars skills, you got your contacts. That's what you're going to lean on. Why wouldn't you? That's where the money's at, especially if you want to stay in the game. What are your other options? Okay, don't do that. Let's take Curtis' tag. Turn around, walk out the door, and walk into the local car sales lot. Get a job. You know, get a regular job. Now, does that give him any more leg up, any more experience, any other reason for you to vote for him or not vote for him if he went and got a job for a couple of years and then came back and ran again? I just don't think so, man. I mean, he's the same person that you voted for last time. He must have had something that you saw a quality in him that you wanted him to be the senator from the great state of Wisconsin. Now, all of a sudden, he doesn't make it, loses by 27,000 votes, you know, a lot because of racism and GOP voter suppression. But whatever, that's where we're at now. Now he's just walk away and get a normal, quote-unquote, J-O-B.
What happened to citizen legislators? They go home. If you lose, you go home. You don't continue to be in the political money-grabbing infrastructure
really?
Forever.
Really? So you're in government, and then you go work for a lobbyist, right?
Godlewski's role in government, Lazary's role in government, and Mandela Barnes was the LT. So other than a few ribbon cuttings, what was his role in government?
He was the lieutenant governor, man.
Which has no defined role other than being the spare.
So what would
he have no duties under constitutional duties under law?
Well, come on, man. Then why did you vote for him to be senator then?
I like the guy.
Well, of course you like the guy. But so you don't think he has the qualities? What are you talking about? You vote for the guy for senator, but you want him to go sell used cars because
is that his only option?
Well, I mean, whatever, man. It doesn't matter. You're telling me his only option that he can't do is one thing he's been doing for the last 8 years or more.
Just does because that make you me don't like it. Him?
If you leave a job and become a consultant to the industry, if you leave regulation and become a consultant for the lobbyist, I mean, come on, man, that's what people do. That's what you do. Crude, if you left radio and became a consultant to another radio conglomerate, why don't you just go home and go do something else? Well, because that's what you're into, man. Why would you go learn a whole new skill, bring on a whole new set of circumstances when you know where you're at and what you're comfortable with, and you know that you may have a political career going forward? Why would you possibly walk away from that?
Because you don't have one now. You didn't win. Go home. The movie's over. Go home. You didn't win. Time to get a real job. Time to learn some new skills. Time to make yourself more marketable if that's what you think. Your future's in politics.
Really? Okay,
great. Go on the motivational speaking tour.
What can you identify a politician who's done so that you would hold up an example of what you aspire for these loser politicians to do? Okay.
No. Thank you. Name the last quote-unquote loser politician that went back super packed up and then came back stronger than ever in one election. Didn't work for Russ Feingold. Hasn't worked for the rest of them, near as I can tell.
Right.
All
right,
it did is it kept paying them. And that's not what these people should be aspiring to.
Really? Really? Do you aspire to get paid? Man, I aspire to get paid. What are you talking about?
What are you doing
about
in the radio industry,
I don't
man?
Know. That's the point. I mean, you cannot knock a dude or girl or whatever person for aspiring to get paid, to lean on the thing you know it's right there, and it may be something you're still going to passionate want to be involved in. No, I'm going to skip all that. I'm going to drop all that and go do X, Y, or Z. Come on, that doesn't, I mean, it doesn't, I get it, man.
You didn't win a plurality of the people's opinion.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We don't have an influence. Bernie Sanders didn't win the presidency. He didn't.
He's a U.S. Senator running the budget committee, dude. He's still got a day job.
He's a loser, right, Curdy? He's a loser.
Well, he's a two-time loser. Yeah. But he's still a U.S. Senator. He's still got a legislative role.
Governor Walker is now the executive director of the Young Americans Foundation.
What a freaking loser. I mean, why is Wanker a freaking loser when he does it, but when the Democrats do it, I'm supposed to be copacetic? I think it's untoward. I don't think that is how you should go and earn your living. I don't think there should be a super PAC culture.
I'm not clear that you are the arbiter of who should, how people should earn a living.
If not
man.
Me, then who?
Well, it's certainly not you, man. And I am not a role model, man. Don't feel like my career. But what I do know is that people have a right and, hell, a duty to scratch out whatever living they can, how they can. And if it's going
to
be
at a.
You don't admire or respect it, but do you blame them?
Yes, kind of. That's what I'm doing. I'm blaming them for not getting real jobs.
For getting paid? What is a real job, Crudy?
A real job? Then start Mandela Barnes Consultancy. Mandela Barnes is a hell of a charismatic guy. He could work in a variety of fields. He's got wonderful communication skills. The guy is a professional. He could get a job. He's clearly a leader.
He's got a job. He's running the super PAC. So you have he's not the job.
Mandela Consulting.
What? Come on. And you get paid by the same group, by the same people for your consulting skills? I mean, how is that any different,
Stop
man?
Stop going under the guise of a super PAC and pretending like anyone gives a damn. That's my thing. I mean, if they pull 10 cents out of their former donors, shame on the former donors.
But if you do it as a consultancy, as an advisor of sorts, then you're earning the money?
Yes, because I'm doing a job. You're giving me a task. I'm performing a task. What task is any super PAC director, former candidate turned super PACer, what are they doing? I mean, literally, what's your job? Dialing for dollars? That's the skill set?
Yes, that is the
job. Give me more money so you can do what? So I can call you tomorrow and ask you for more money.
How is that different from any other fundraising operation of all time in any organization ever?
I can tell you. There are groups that raise money and actually expend that money to accomplishing something other than employing the former candidate. And I think it's untoward, as I've said three times now, to make the entirety of your seeking for dollars so I can continue to not get a real job, so I can continue my failed political career, because if I were successful, I'd have a job today. And you could say.
And in that job, you'd be dialing for dollars.
Or maybe I'd do some legislating. Or maybe I'd be serving my
constituents. And you're still dialing for dollars, man. Come on. No one gets away from not dialing for dollars.
967-2789. You want to give us some money? It's the Crudy Dom Super PAC. Plug away. The meter's running. Tate from Madison. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tate. Hello, Tate.
Apparently your arguments have bored Tate.
Come on, Tate.
844-967-2789. Our pal, Hasshole from Sheboygan there. Hey. How you doing, Haas?
76.
I'm sorry. Start again, Mike. We apparently weren't playing
the sound. Where were you guys in 1976?
I was not voting for Jimmy Carter, I can tell you that.
I was 4 years old. I
can only speak to 80. When it was John Anderson and Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, I would have voted for the independent John Anderson, but 10-year-olds don't get a vote.
Somewhere in Wisconsin, three of your attorneys right now are shaking their heads, Maggie Dawn, James Santel, and Matt Flynn, because they know collectively that the dialing for dollars, pointy finger, and I'm siding with Dom this time again, goes back to 1976, Buckley versus Vallejo, when money was made legal, and again in 2009.
Yeah, money is free speech in Citizens United. Oh, I get it, Mike.
Speech. Money is speech, and corporations are people, and then comes Citizens United in 2009, 2010. So the dialing for dollars is something we all inherited or voted for.
Is that what we didn't? I inherited it. I certainly didn't vote for it. But
that's why I asked where you were in 2009. Well, in grade school.
Is that how we want our representatives, those that, you know, failed to win office through elections, but, you know, want to continue to stay close to politics? Do we, the Democrats, embrace dialing for dollars? That becomes the entirety of their skill set. All they do is they know how to be charming and convince someone to write them a check. Is that what we should aspire to?
Hey, there's a reason Jesus threw over the money changers in the temple. And this is one of them.
Well, that's sorry, guys. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. But what about book writing, Crude? You could write a book,
sure,
right?
That's an admirable profession.
No, yeah, someone else ghostwrite it for you and have a pack buy it. That's just money laundering, man. Are you kidding me? How about speechifying? Pay me to show up. Give me $60,000 to say hello. That's a better way? Come on. It could all be criticized.
Yes, but my criticism's accurate. More devils come back.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
The Devil's Advocates. Because freedom!
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Coming home to the Devils at 844-967-2789.
Let's go to the phones, Dom. Jim from Appletown. How you doing, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
I'm doing okay, Curdy. Hi, Dom. Curdy,
how
many times have you failed that radio?
How many what?
How many times have you failed at radio?
Never. Here I am, man, making the greatest show ever.
Yeah, you're still here making the greatest show ever, but I believe you lost a couple of stations at least.
Well, define loss. Man, I made business decisions in the best interest of my family. What I didn't do is run out and start a super PAC. That was a 501c3. No, go ahead, Jim. I'm sorry to interrupt.
My point is, you're still on radio because it's what you're good at. Mandela Barnes is good at raising money. What else would you have him do?
You know, I'm good at selling financial products. I was really good at it. I made a lot of money when I did it. Doesn't mean it is a pursuit for a human that wants to have a soul. I think at some point, if all we do is monetize, and I mean, obviously, dude, I got bills to pay. We all got bills to pay. I'm a selfish guy. I want to pay my bills. Mandela's got to pay his bills. I don't blame the guy for paying his bills. But I would say if you want to be more appealing to me in future elective cycles, go out there and get a job in the community. Be a community organizer. Make your $60,000 a year. Do it for 2 years and then go run for something again. I would have greater respect for the man. And it's not that he cannot dial for dollars. He can keep his skills sharp, but do so on behalf of a nonprofit. Do so on behalf of a cause when the cause is not raising money and paying your own bills. I mean, lots of small business people, Jim, like myself, have gone out there and, you know, I've dialed for dollars. I've asked people to fund my vision of radio because I didn't have enough money to do it myself. My greatest crime was being undercapitalized every time, Jim. Don't have enough money. I'm not a rich man. So, you know, is that failure? Well, the difference I would say is it's not a failure in the eyes of the audience. We didn't fail to captivate the audience. You're listening right now. What I failed to do is be born under, you know, Mark Lazary's lucky star. See the difference, Jim, or not really?
No, not really.
Sorry, man. I can take the heat, Jim. I can take the heat. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Mandela has been a community organizer. He was very good at it. That's what led him into politics.
When was that?
Which?
Why did he not talk about that on the stump? When his opponent in the election, on the debate stage, turned towards him and said, "You've never had a job outside of politics." And his response was, "But my mom and dad did."
Community organizing is considered political.
Well, he didn't even throw that out there as an example, Jim. I'm just telling you. He had every opportunity to defend his record of working outside of politics, and he didn't have a record to defend.
Do you mark that? I mean, listen, and again, he never worked outside of politics, and everyone's a socialist because of Republicans. But, Crudy, I mean, do you want a guy who's never had anything to do with politics all of a sudden in politics?
I'd like to think they've got some skill set that would bring them to a position of leadership. But would I rather see people coming from their communities and running for state legislative jobs or whatever the case may be, and then serving a term or two, and if they lose election, going back to their communities and serving, you know, on the school board or whatever, I don't care. But no, I don't think any politician should make a career out of it. I don't think there should be career politicians. When you're 40 years on that job, time to move on. You know what I mean? You're doing it wrong. Unless you're the president. I mean, Obama's already a retired president for a decade now. Well, I guess he's only been.
So you wouldn't want FDR for another term, man? Are you sure about that?
Well, he's dead, so I don't know.
I mean, Harvey might
have
take some issue with that. If you talk about not providing a service and passing the hat just because they're asking for money, I assume you think that all religious organizations and churches are just a waste of time as well, then.
I don't know. Are they just keeping the doors open and paying the minister, or are they actually ministering to the poor and perhaps feeding them?
Yeah.
Are any of these super PACs going to provide food to the homeless? Because no, if they did that, if that was their purpose.
Are they going to save your soul, Crudy? Can you define saving my soul? What's it cost to save a soul? What is the service provided? If I tell you, give me money, I'll save your soul.
Well, I don't know, but we've got
what the product or service
Supreme
is.
Court election going on right now. I understand the price tag could be somewhere north of $60 million. So $60
million.
$60 million. $6 million in the primary. You got about $54 million in spending still coming down the pike.
Damn.
And I care a lot about the outcome of that race. And you know what? I just wish a few of them had waited maybe a month till after the spring election to, you know, venture back into politics looking for a job, a J-O-B in Super PACville. 844-967-2789. Tom from McFarland. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Probably it's a soft no.
I'm sorry, Tom. Are you on a speaker or something, dude? We can barely hear you.
Or something of that.
I think Tom's moved on to a business meeting. Let's try one more. We're not having good luck on the phones. But John from Joliet, he's paying attention, I can tell.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going? I got a question for you. After Aaron Rodgers retires this year, can he never do anything in football again? Or
is he going to run
it? That is.
Ayahuasca Super PAC?
You know, I don't know. I mean, that's what he does. He plays football. Maybe he gets involved in management or something different. I mean, isn't that kind of the same thing?
But what if the Packers cut Aaron Rodgers and then he's playing on some semi-pro league till he's in his 60s, dude? Would you have a little less respect for him if he's no longer of the ability to make it in the NFL? Should he still be a quarterback?
I don't know,
go
John.
On to the CFL, the USFL, and the Friday Night Bar League?
Whatever it takes to earn a living, John.
He can come down here and he can consult with the Bears.
Well, why would he need to consult, John? He already owns your ass.
I know. Maybe get like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Maybe we can get in a playoff team at some point. I mean, not that the Packers have been in the playoffs.
playoffs a lot recently. But
oh, come on, John. We missed 1 year in our adult life. Well, maybe 2 years. But anyways, the Packers, still a far better team than anything from Chicago in the last 15 or 20 years. 85, you still got the Super Bowl shuffle, boys. The rest of us, we've always got super PACs to fall back on. maybe we'll talk about the state Supreme Court race. Coming back, more Devil's Advocates.